Anyway, one man's the last difference to the 12th hour apostolic Sabbatarian congregation, miles out of the 12th hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is December 9, 2017, or 16/22/2021. We will start our first service on the Sabbath day with a song entitled Softly and Tenderly, Yahshua's Calling. Softly and tenderly, Yahshua is calling, calling for you and for me. See, on the portal, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Yahshua is calling, calling for sinners, come home. Should we tarry when Yahshua is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercy? Mercy for you and for me. Come home, come home. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Part 1, John 17:17. Okay, now let's read the whole chapter of John 17. Start with verse 1. It says that these words spake Yahshua and lifted up his eyes unto heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And it said that, and thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life unto as many as thou hast gavest him. Okay, so now the Son is lifting up his eyes to heaven. He said, the hour is come. He said, Father, the hour is come. What hour is that? It would have to be the last hour on the periodic time clock, and how many hours are there? Well, we just flip back to John 11 and 9, and we can find out how many periodic hours that Yahshua said were in the day. And he said there, in John 11 and 9, Yahshua answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Okay, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbles because there is no light in him. Now we go to John 9:4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So Yahshua works from sun up to sundown. And that covers 12 hours in the day. Now we go to John 12:25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So that it is a pronoun standing for the word name. So let's go back now to John 17. Let's pick up where we left off. Verse 2, and thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15:25-27, we might take a look at that. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that Yahweh may be all in all. And this is the whole thing. Yahweh has raised up his Son. He put all things under him here on this earth, and the Son, all things are under the Father, including the Son. Now let's go back to John 17, and it says there in verse 4, I have glory, no, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true Yahweh, and his Son Yahshua Messiah, whom thou hast sent. In John 5:36-37, it says that, I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. What did we say we were going to? John 5:36-37. Let's try that again. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Now go back to John 17, verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Let's go read now in John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with the Father, and the Word was the Father. The same was in the beginning with the Father. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from Yahweh, whose name was John. Okay, so now this man was sent from the Yahweh, from the Father, whose name was John. Well, the Father's in heaven, and John's here on earth, so we have to conclude that Yahweh sent this man John by His Spirit. So John 1:7. Then the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. What light is that? The light of the Son, Yahshua, that all men through Him might believe. Now he was not that light, meaning John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So every man that cometh into the world is lighted by the true light. In other words, when you buy you a new candle and you put the match to it, okay, that is the first lighting of that man, of that candle. Same thing when a man comes into the world. It says, the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. In John, 1 John chapter 1, the epistle of John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 2, the epistle of John chapter, let's go read it right. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. It says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. So you go back to now to John chapter 8, verse 12, and you find out that, then spake Yahshua again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 12:35. Then Yahshua said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. New light came to William Miller in 1833. The 2300-day prophecy came to him. The first, second, and third angel's messages followed after that. William Miller had the Spirit upon him to preach the second coming of the Yahshua. He had his understanding and his own, according to the way he understood the Scriptures, was a certain way he was, but he was coming. He was coming back to this earth. He predicted the time that it would happen, and he said it'd be in 1844. But we know what happened. We did have a prophetic event take place. The 2300-day prophecy, the cleansing of the sanctuary, took place in 1844. And Yahshua coming to the most holy place in heaven to start the judgment for the dead. By opening up the books, he didn't come to the earth like William Miller had prophesied, but he came, he did something. He went from one place to another place and to a sanctuary that was in heaven, and he started the judgment for the dead. And John 9:4, let's read that. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is the day. The night cometh and no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now Yahshua has always been in the world. And starting at the Garden of Eden, from the time of Adam and Eve sinned, even before Adam and Eve sinned, Yahweh came down and He created this earth, and He had 7 days of the creation week. 6 weeks He spent in the creation of this earth, and 7th day He rested. So there was a 7-day creation week, and Yahshua came with him. Yahshua was there, we know, when he created Adam, because in Genesis 1:26 we have the record there. And Yahweh said, let us make man in our image. Who was he talking to? Us is a pronoun meaning two or more. Yahweh said, let us. So who was us? Yahshua. Alright, now, we have something else here. So Yahshua was with his father in the creation of Adam and Eve. They were co-creators. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, Yahweh created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Yahweh moved upon the face of the waters. And Yahweh said, let there be light, and there was light. What does it mean, and there was light? There was no sun and moon shining. The moon and sun hadn't been created yet. It was still 4 days away from being created. So what was this light? When the astronauts went into outer space back in the 1960s, they sent back a message to the Earth. They said, the Earth has its own light. And it's not the light of the sun, the moon, and the stars. Said, the Earth has Earth light. So what was that light? We get a little clue over here in John 9:4. He says, John 9:4-5. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, and no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Yahshua is with the Father in the world on the first day of creation week. There was no sun, the moon, the stars to sit the 24-hour day. So Yahshua says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, what was that light then that the Father had? He had the light of the sun, S-O-N, his sun. And then 4 days later, he created the sun and the heavens, spelled S-U-N. So the first light that was created was his sun. And he brought that light with him from heaven. And Yahshua says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. We never understood this before. What did it say that Yahweh created everything on this planet? He had to have light, or he couldn't count 24 hours in a day. All right, now, if that's not enough, we go to Hebrews chapter 1, and we confirm what we just talked about there in Genesis chapter 1 and John chapter. There in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, Yahweh, who at the sundry times and in divers manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Did you know the worlds also have to have light? All the other planetary system has to have light? So Yahweh created the sun and the heavens and all the planetary systems in our solar system rotates around that sun, 93 million miles away from this planet. So those other planets have to be probably just as far away from the sun as well. But nevertheless, his sun, like he said, is the light of the world. Now let's go back to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with the Father, and the Word was of the Father. I put the preposition where they're missing. The same was in the beginning with the Father. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And Yahshua says, I am the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 1:4. In him, who? Yahshua was life, and the life was the light of men. You get that? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So when Yahshua came to this earth with his Father to start the first day of creation week, there wasn't any sun, moon, or stars for 3 whole days. And at the beginning of the 4th day, the moon was created, starting tonight. It rules the night. And then 12 hours later, the sun was created in the heavens. And then he created the sun, and when he created the moon, he created the stars also, because they light up at night. The moon lightens the earth at night. This is in John 1:6. There was a man sent from the Father, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So you have to have true light of the inspiration on the scriptures in order to even believe. First, you got to have the true light. You got to have a teacher. You got to have knowledge and understanding and wisdom. All that goes together. And then you got this believe by faith. By faith, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even unto his power. And it says Godhead in Romans 1:20. I call it Elohimhead, Yahwehhead, meaning one head, the Father. He's the sole head on the top of that pyramid as it graduates down to the earth. Yahshua is at the top. One singular person. Then you have the Son that makes up the second tier, and the Holy Spirit. There's two of them that makes up the second tier, the Son and the Holy Spirit. So the Catholic Church likes to invent the doctrine of the Trinity. They say there's one, two, three. There's three gods in one. No. There's only one deity, and then that deity creates his Son, and he gives him power, and he imparts his Holy Spirit unto his Son, and enables his Son to do anything that the Father asks him to do. Anything that needs to be done from the Father through his Son, he gives him the power and the Spirit to do it. So you only have two, the Father and the Son, that operates with the power of the Holy Spirit, which comes from the Father, to accomplish all things that need to be accomplished here on this earth and in the universe. So in John chapter 1, verse 8, said, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world, the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, unto them gave he power to become the sons of Yahweh, even unto them that believe on his name. So many of Yahshua's chosen people that were called by the name of Israel, they didn't believe. But it says, as many as received the Son, Yahshua, unto them gave he power. In other words, Yahshua, he is a pronoun for the Son. For as many as received the Son, unto them gave he power. Well, that could be the power, what's the power of the Father? To become the sons of the Father, even unto them that believe on his name. So all those that believe on his name, Yahshua, and his name is not Jesus, and all those that says, yeah, I believe on Jesus, but this Yahshua, I know not who he is. These people have got it twisted backwards, and they are doubly deceived. John 1:13. Which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the Yahweh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, King Abba says, John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. So, in Mark 1, verse 1 through 8, let's go read about it, if we can find it. Mark 1, 1 through 8, it says, the beginning of the gospel of the Yahshua Messiah, the Son of Yahweh. That would be Yahshua, Y-A-H-S-P-E-L. In other words, the beginning of the good news of the plan of salvation through the blood of the Yahshua Messiah, the Son of Yahweh. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Who is the messenger? Whoever is the messenger that is sent to prepare the way for the Son to come, he is the same thing in Malachi 3, 1, 2, and 3, the messenger of the covenant. What covenant? The covenant of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. Mark 1:3, It says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Messiah, Yeshua, making his path straight. So this is John the Baptist. Yeshua himself told the disciples that John the Baptist was the Elijah that was to come, that the Pharisees and Sadducees had been holding out for, that the Elijah must come and fulfill all things, it said, before the Messiah can come. So the Elijah's got to first come and fulfill all things. No, he's not to come and fulfill all things. Elijah's to come and prepare the way for the Messiah, so that the Messiah can come and fulfill all things, not the messenger of the covenant. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with a camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I, after me, the last of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with the water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And it came to pass in those days that Yeshua came from the Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descend upon him. And there came a voice from the heavens saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after John was put in the prison, Yeshua came into the Galilee, preaching the gospel, YAHSPEL, of the kingdom of the Father, Yahweh Elohim. So what was then Yeshua preaching? Yeshua came into the Galilee preaching the gospel. Well, we have to put a preposition in there. So he was preaching of the gospel. He was preaching of the good news of the plan of salvation through the blood, through his blood, through his cleansing blood. Okay. The kingdom of heaven. So now you go to Matthew 4 and 1 through 13, and we might learn something there. Matthew 4, 1 through 13. It says, then was Yeshua led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards in hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of Yahweh, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. Now, in this strange there, in Deuteronomy 8:3, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, here it says, and this is the upper and the lower case. So that whenever they do, the translators do that, they're referring to the Son. Even though we always quote it as the Father, so here it is right here. So it says, that by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Son, Yahshua, doth man live. All right? Now we go back to Matthew 4, and we read that again, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Yahshua. Now who is here on earth in the person preaching and teaching in the real live person the plan of the salvation of the blood through the blood of the new covenant? It was Yeshua. It was his words. It was the people that came to hear him, and they heard it out of his own mouth. And that's how they were healed, by believing. And what he said, he healed everyone that believed. The Father wasn't here. He said, no man has seen the Father and lived. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I do always the works of the Father. I do those things that he called me to do. He gives me power to be his witness here on earth to accomplish the things I sent here for, and that is the power to heal all of those that believe and to save all of those that believe by my blood. So it says right here, man does not live by bread alone. That's the physical food. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Son. Because the word, the same word, he said, I only speak the words of the Father. So these are the words out of the mouth of the Father to his Son. It's just funneled to his Son. But they came out verbally through the Son's mouth. And it was the Son that would say, in the name of the Father, be healed. In the name of your faith has made you whole. Take up thy bed and walk. Be thou, your faith has made you whole. And just continue on and on and on. And so it says, so as we go back to John chapter 1, it says in verse 25, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou, then if thou be not Yeshua, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with the water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John says, Yeshua coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of the Father, which taketh away the sin of the world. And what's that sin? It's the sin of unbelief, collectively, by all of those that refuse to accept the Yeshua as the Son of the Father that was sent from above. It says, John 1:30, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with the water. And John bade a record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from the heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with the water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Okay, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of the Yahweh. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Yahshua as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of Yahweh. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed him. What prompted them to address him as the Lamb of Yahweh? Because they understood that he was going to die as a lamb that was led to the slaughter. And because they understood Isaiah 53, they all understood Isaiah 53 prophecy, that's the reason why they're able to say, behold, the Lamb of Yahweh. They understood the prophecy and that it was meeting its fulfillment in the person of the Yahshua at that time. So let's look at Isaiah 53. It says, who hath believed our report? And unto whom is the arm of the Yahweh revealed? Now, that's a question mark. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Okay, so now if we look at Isaiah 52:14, we just back up a few scriptures. As many were astonished that his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, The king shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told him shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. So we go to Romans 15:21, and we'll read something there. It says that, but as it is written, unto whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming unto you. But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come unto you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Now, isn't this amazing? He didn't say, I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the sinners. He said, I go to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. He's talking about the poor believers that had accepted the truth at Jerusalem. They were called saints. All you have to do is confess your sins, accept and believe on the Yahshua Messiah and His blood that cleanses you from all sin, and for the forgiveness of sins through His blood, and you are then addressed as saints. You're not addressed as sinners anymore. But because the common Christian do not understand this, and the ministers teach this falsely so, that's why the people don't know no better. They don't know that they can actually graduate from sinner to saint right here in this life, right in the flesh that they're in. They can do it within a moment by just confessing their sins and turning from their sins. That's all they have to do. It says so there in Romans chapter 6. I'll read it to you. And I'll read you the whole chapter. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Yahweh forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in? Have you been baptized in the Spirit through the baptismal fountain? Have you gone through that baptismal grave? Have you come up out of it to walk in newness of life and to be a new creature? Well, you have to go through the baptismal grave in order to come out on the other side and to walk in the newness of life. Let's read it. Romans 6 verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Yeshua Messiah were baptized into His death? Alright, and therefore we are buried with Him by the baptism into His death. That like as Yeshua was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, and we know we have that record in Hebrews 13:20, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted again in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. From henceforth, you are not to serve sin anymore. Once you learn what sin is, and you have repented of it, and you turned away from it, and you've gotten forgiveness of sins through the blood of Yahshua, then you are to not serve sin anymore. For he that is dead is freed from sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Yahshua, we believe that we shall also live with Him. If we're dead to sin, then we automatically believe that we're going to live with Him one day. As a matter of fact, you start living with Him today. The minute that you turn from sin and get forgiveness of it, repent of it and get forgiven, you start walking and living with Him today. Through the Spirit. Knowing that Yeshua, being raised from the dead, died no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. Now, the name of my subject is life eternal, eternal life. Well, this is part of it, right here. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto the Father. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto the Father, through the Yahshua Messiah our Savior, by His blood, I might add. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of the unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto Yahweh as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of the righteousness unto the Yahweh. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law. Under what law? You're not under the law of the animal sacrifice. Just that pure and simple. You're not under the law of Moses anymore. You're under the law of the Spirit of Life and the Yahshua, the sign that says, so right across the page here in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation unto them which are in the Yahshua Messiah, who walk not as the flesh, but as the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the Life and the Yahshua Messiah hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that's the law of Moses, and that he was weak through the flesh. Through the flesh of what? Through the flesh of the animal. It had blood, but the blood only served as a proxy. Not the real thing. Not the real blood of Yahshua for sure, but it stood in the place of it in the Old Testament by those that believed in the plan of salvation through blood. They accepted that, and it was counted on them for righteousness, and they had their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life for to be perfected by Him when He does come and make one offering, and that is in the Hebrews 10:14. Okay, it says it. Yahweh sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin and the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So it says right here, because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, for it is not subject unto the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. If you don't have inspiration, and you don't know where to find the prophet with inspiration, then you need to pray for it. But if you're blinded to that, and you believe that you are the prophet, and you already have inspiration, you don't need to look to anybody else. But then you're doubly deceived. Romans 8, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please the Father. How many people have been in the flesh? I'm going to tell you something. All up to now have been in the flesh, including the ones that were righteous and went on to their reward. They went on the reward because they believed in the present truth, and they lived to all the light they had in their season. But there comes a time now when you're going to have to walk in the light on a daily basis and believe in it as it unfolds on a moment-by-moment basis. And you're going to have to walk right on into heaven by following that light. You're going to be required to stay up with that light step by step. Romans 8:9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Yahweh dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of the Yahshua, he is none of his. And if Yahshua be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of the righteousness of the law. What I mean by that? Because of the righteousness of the law. Psalms 119:142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Okay, so now in Galatians 2:20, what does it say? Well, we might turn to that right quick and read it. It says that, I am crucified with the Yahshua, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Yahshua liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the eye of the blood, by the faith in the blood of the Son of the Yahweh. They left that out. The translator left that part out, in the blood. It belongs there. Who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of Yahweh, for if righteousness come by the law, then Yahshua is dead in vain. Okay, so how does righteousness come? It comes by, through the law of the Spirit of life, faith in the blood of Yeshua. Well, it says so there in Romans 3:24 and 25. It says so. Let's go read it. It says that being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. Okay, and then they again they left out the blood through the redemption in the blood that is in the Yahshua Messiah, in His blood that is in the Yahshua Messiah. Verse 25, Romans 3. Whom Yahweh has set forth to be a propitiation through faith, and it actually says it here, in His blood. It actually wrote it here. To declare His righteousness for the remission of the sins that are past, through the forbearance of the Father. Now, in Hebrews 9:15, we have another testimony here. And let's hurriedly turn to that and read that. It says that, and for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of His death, on the cross, I might add, for the redemption of the transgression, and I'll add the blood again, they don't have it here, by the blood that was under the first, by the blood of the animal that was under the first testament. They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So you see, the blood of the animal also needs to be interjected in when it's talking about it. And I'll read that again in Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause, let's just read the verse 14. How much more shall the blood of the Yahshua, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without the spot unto Yahweh, purge your conscience from dead works? That means from offering up animal sacrifices that you are no longer obligated to do, to serve the living Yahweh. And for this cause, He is the mediator of the new covenant, of the New Testament, that by the means of His death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also necessarily be the death of the testator. So, the Lamb testified to the sinner that that took the Lamb's life. That was a testimony of the testator. He gave up His blood so that the sinner, that sin in the old covenant, that blood to stand in the place of Yahshua's blood until Yahshua comes and ratifies all of those that were sanctified by the blood, believing in the blood on the Old Testament. And it says right there in Hebrews 10:14, it says that, and by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness for us, for after that He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yahshua. I will put my laws into their hearts. For whose law? The laws of Yahshua, because it says so in John 10:15, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So Yahshua has His commandments, and they're the commandments of the sanctuary that is governed by the blood. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. So those sins that Yahshua makes a final remission for, and He says, I'll remember them no more, then there will be never no more offering made for those sins, because they were purged by the blood of Yahshua. But in the Old Testament, since they were offered first by the blood of the animal, they had to then be re-offered again by the blood of Yahshua. And then after they're offered by the blood of Yahshua, there is no more offering then for those sins that Yahshua remisses, because those sins are all gone. So why would there be another offering? Having therefore brethren, this is in Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of the Yeshua. Okay. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, through his flesh. I have the preposition through. So now, if you go to Hebrews 6:18-20. Now first let's go to Romans 5:1-2. Chapter 5, Romans 5. Verses 1 and 2. This says that, therefore being justified by the faith, I have to add the blood again, they don't have it here. Now the faith in the blood of the Yeshua, we have peace with the Father through our Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. Here, let me read that again. Therefore being justified by the faith in the blood of the Yeshua, we have peace with the Father through our Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, by whom also we have access by the faith in the blood, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of your Father. Okay. And in Ephesians 2:18, it talks about the same language here. Let's go read it. It says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So what does it mean by that? For through the Yeshua the Son, through his blood. So let's put the words in there that are missing. For through the blood of the Yeshua, we have both access by the one Spirit unto the Father. So when we go through the blood of Yeshua and we're covered by his blood, we have automatic access unto the Father. Well, this says, now let's go to, let's close our study out with Hebrews 9:14-15 and see where we're at. It says, how much more shall the blood of Yeshua, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without the spot on the Yahweh, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living Father. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, by the means of the death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance, his death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament. And then in Hebrews 10:14, it says that for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Are is a meaning of all of those that are sanctified by his blood, that believes in Yeshua's death, burial, and resurrection, and that his blood is for the redemption of the transgression of all of those under the first covenant. And then it says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified by believing both dead and living, both those that had believed in before they died in the old covenant and those that are presently standing there like Paul was, that Paul didn't believe at the time that Yeshua died, but he believed 3.5 years later. And so he said, and so I'll close this sermon out then with Romans 5, verse 8, 9, and 10. But Yahweh commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Yeshua died for us. Okay. So when Yeshua died on the cross, he died for those that were yet sinners. He died for those that had gone on before into their graves, that believing they were sanctified by the blood of the everlasting covenant that was enjoined unto them by Moses in Exodus 24:8. And it says in Romans 5 verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled unto Yahweh by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And so that causes me then to close out this sermon on Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation unto them which are in the Yahshua Messiah, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in the Yahshua Messiah hath made me free from the law of sin and death. This brings the close of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archives and hear this message and more. We're going to close now with a song. Father, along. If dead ends God, we're awfully to wonder why it should be thus all the days long. While there are others living about us, this is molested, no end of wrong. Father of long, we'll go on about it. Father of long, we'll understand why. Seal up my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it. Oh, by and by, when death has come and taken the loved one, it leaves a home so lonely and dim. Then do we wonder why this prosper, living so wicked year after year. Father of long will know about it. Father of long will understand why. Cheer up my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Take the tenderness and our loving master. A few more days to labor and wait. Close up the road where crimson is nothing. As we sleep through the beautiful gate, Father along will know all about it. Father along will understand why. Cheer up my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Yahshua coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall be there in the dark mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Father of long, we'll know all about it. Father of long, we'll know all about it. Father of long, we'll understand why. Hear up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand.